Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So to talk about everything going on in the world of the New York Mets, had to bring in the man, Mike Puma. Covers the New York Mets for the New York Post. Mike, how are you? Thanks for taking the time.
JR, how are you today?
I'm very well. I mean, so many questions. I'm going to try not to make, our conversation about a MASH unit, but I guess one of the first questions I want to ask before the trade deadline talk and some of the moves, is there any update on, you know, how Nimmo is doing and how that leg is, hamstring?
Yeah, we don't know much yet. I think in the next hour or so, there'll be more information out there. Poking around a little bit this morning, I didn't find out anything. So we'll see if he's in the lineup. If he even had an MRI, they were calling it. Luis Rojas was calling it something along the lines of a tweak last night. But you know how those things go. But you know, obviously, not a player they can afford to lose at this point atop the lineup.
Not at all, especially the way that he at the clip that he's able to get on base. And unfortunately, with the New York Mets, it just goes on and on. And we can kind of laugh or maybe giggle just a little bit when we talk about tweaks. You know, in a case of Jacob deGrom, we have just heard about tweaks. It seems since, you know, maybe 2 months into the season, it's a tweak here, a tweak there. And now there's no structural damage, but we won't see him until September. Realistically, what do you think that ramp up might look like as we try to go on a roll towards the postseason?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting here. I think there's some people who wonder if we're going to see Jacob deGrom back at all this year after all that's gone on here and the swelling reappearing in his right forearm. And, I have to wonder if there's something the Mets aren't telling us at this point. They've been very vague about the diagnosis of this thing. Now he's shut down for at least 2 weeks. They'll have to ramp him up again. That'll take another few weeks. So, you know, best case scenario, you're into early September. That's best case scenario. And then, you know, if there's any kind of setback there, you know, if you're lucky enough to get in the playoffs, maybe you have him for the playoffs, but you know, at that point, he hasn't pitched much. So, I think you got to hold your breath a little bit here and wonder if we'll see Jacob deGrom at all again this year.
Mike Puma is here with us, covers the New York Mets for the Post. Man, I mean, that's certainly a blow. You think about how the Mets starting rotation has performed over the past several weeks and some of the additions. You look at Richo, who's going to be on the mound later on today. Tyler McGill certainly doing well. Walker not doing so well. When you look at what happened, it did not happen at the trade deadline. Is there anything that the New York Mets could have done with the rotation without, you know, maybe mortgaging the future?
Yeah, I wonder how much they could have done with the rotation. The two guys that interested them were Max Scherzer, and he wasn't going to waive his no trade 10-5 rights, whatever you want to call it, to come to the Mets. He wanted to be out on the West Coast, so he was out. And then you had Jose Berrios with Minnesota, and the Twins wanted a very big package that probably would have included you know, two of their top prospects, and they ended up getting a darn good package from Toronto there that I don't know that the Mets could have matched. So I think the Mets looked at those two arms, and then after that there was a significant drop-off in the asking price, even on those kind of mid-range arms, was so high that they said, you know what, we're not going to sacrifice good prospects for, you know, kind of mediocre arms here. So they went out and got a serviceable arm in Trevor Williams in the Javi Baez deal. You know, Williams kind of a back end guy, but you know, there's concerns here because you have, even though the rotation is full right now, and you have Williams as a serviceable back end guy, you know, you get an injury, and then somebody else has to miss a start here, and then all of a sudden you're scrambling. So, you know, I think you would have liked to see him do something in the rotation. I think realistically, it wasn't a great fit for the Mets.
Yeah, no, Mike, I agree with you. Yeah, I think there were limited options outside of Scherzer and Berrios as to how you could improve this rotation. So based on what you just said a few minutes ago, when it boils down to DeGrom, you think this starting five is what we realistically might be stuck with for the remainder of the year?
Well, and the X factor still is Noah Syndergaard. Now he's started throwing bullpens again. We could see him in September. Now, whether I guess it'd be based on need what he does. If he jumps back into that rotation, or if he's used his arm out of the bullpen. But yeah, he's kind of the X factor here. But again, I don't know if you could count on him, a guy who hasn't pitched all year, and now you're getting down to the end of the year here, and if he has one setback along the way, you're probably not going to see him. So, but yeah, I think they're going to have to sink or swim basically with this group: Carrasco, Stroman, Walker, right on down the line.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, you take a look at Noah Syndergaard. I mean, even if he does return, long relief as a starter, what is he giving you? Four innings. So, yeah, not looking too bright for the New York Mets on the pitching front. Let's talk about Baez, who did come in. Yes, the New York Mets were able to get his bat from Chicago, multiple-time All-Star, 22 home runs this year, and almost driven in 70 runs up until this point. How do you see him slotting into the team? And, you know, we know that Davis, and there's going to be some guys who are going to lose some at-bats. How does this affect their offense and their defense?
Yeah, this will be interesting to see once Francisco Lindor comes back. And, you know, they're hopeful that, you know, within a couple of weeks here, 2 to 3 weeks, maybe Lindor is back from that oblique strain. So, but, you know, until then, Baez plays shortstop. And then, you know, you have McNeil to play second. You have Davis to play third. But after Lindor comes back, he's going to be playing Baez at second and Lindor at short, which that's going to be a heck of a, you know, maybe one of the great double play combinations in Mets history, at least for, you know, the last 6 weeks or whatever here of the season. But then, yeah, you have to figure out kind of what you do with third base. You know, I think it probably becomes kind of a platoon with Davis and McNeil. Maybe McNeil plays a little bit of outfield. You know, but somebody's going to lose some at-bats here. Once you have Lindor and Baez in that lineup. But listen, it'll be a nice situation to have for the Mets.
Who do you think would edge out in that spot? And obviously we have to see when Lindor comes back from his oblique injury. JD, whether he was sweating bullets a little bit with the trade deadline, hasn't been so hot. Jeff McNeil has been the complete opposite, even after dealing with that leg issue last week. Wouldn't you think that Jeff would maybe be favored to kind of take over that third base spot? I mean, this is a lot of movement for players who typically are playing well. Do we want to move them around that much? Wouldn't that be a detriment?
And then, you know, and that's the thing. We saw McNeil a little bit at third base in spring training. Did not look comfortable there. And at that point, I think they kind of decided, hey, we're going to entrench McNeil at second and not move him around. So, yeah, you are opening that can of worms a little bit if you play him over there. But at the same time, I think the way this offense is underperformed and been sporadic, you're probably going to go with the hot bat over there, whether it's, you know, on McNeil's hitting right now and Davis has cooled off a little bit. But, you know how those things go. They'll flip-flop. And I think Luis Rojas will just kind of mix and match with the position.
Okay, Mike Puma is here with us from the New York Post talking about the Mets. When you think about the Mets standing in the division, we've seen the Phillies make some trades. We saw the Braves try to pick up some pieces in the outfield, bringing back Duvall. How does this kind of play out for the Mets? Do you think they are still in the lead to kind of hold on to the National League East, or do you think this might legitimately now be a three-team race where the Braves and also the Phillies catch up?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, especially with this August stretch coming up where the Mets have a bunch of games against the Dodgers and Giants. I think it's 13. You know, they play both home and away against the Dodgers and Giants in August, and that's, you know, those are two top teams in the National League right there. So they're going to have to survive that, and I think that opens the door a little bit for the Phillies and Braves. So I think we have a race here. You know, I see this thing going down to the wire.
Okay. I got to ask you about one man in particular. He's still in his contract year. I don't know if there's any other, you know, laser throws from right field that can kind of save him. Michael Conforto. How do you think he factors in the rest of this year, knowing that this is a contract situation for him? And do you see any scenario where he kind of gets moved around?
Yeah, at some point here, you wonder if the Mets are going to say, listen, we love you, Michael, and we know this is a contract year and everything, but we've got to do what's best for the team, whether that's moving him way down in the order, whether that's platooning him a little bit more, maybe getting Kevin Pillar out there. You know, I think he's got a couple of weeks here to try and turn this around, and then you get to the point where you got to try and win games and do what's best there. So, you know, I thought he had turned around this season on that last road trip when they went to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati right out of the break. You know, he hit that go-ahead home run to win the game of the Sunday game in Pittsburgh when they came back, hit a couple of home runs in Cincinnati, and you're like, okay, he's finally going. And boy, he's just reverted back to where he was on his last homestand.
Yeah, unfortunately, bringing in Baez, this is going to have an effect not just on the infield positioning, the defensive positioning, who's going to lose some at-bats, how do you kind of shift out, like you said, McNeil, and make sure that Dom Smith can also get some at-bats. When you think about this Mets team, all the things that we just discussed, everything that needs to be considered, we didn't even get into the bullpen. I think we kind of know it is what it is at this point. But ultimately, what do you think the realistic outcome is for the New York Mets this season?
Realistic? I think they still can. I see them hanging on to win the division here. I think it's gonna be tight. You know, I think the Phillies and Braves will be there. I don't think the Mets are good enough to put major distance between themselves and the other team. But I see them winning the division. And the way this thing is set up, you didn't get. You know, if you win the division, you get the Central winner. It looks like it's going to be Milwaukee in the first round, and maybe you can win a series there. But, well, you know, then it's a huge step up because you're playing the NL West winner in the NL Championship Series. But, you know, this is a team that can realistically get to the National League Championship Series being just a few games over 500.
No, realistic. So I got to ask you, final question here. Who needs to step up? Like, who is this key player? Let's not even think about DeGrom. We know it'd be amazing if he came back. Same for Syndergaard, whatever he's able to contribute. Who's kind of the linchpin on this team as they move forward and try to maintain this National League East win?
Well, I think you mentioned one of those guys just a minute ago in Conforto. You get that bat going, get him going in the middle of the lineup again. It looks like a much different lineup there. And the other guy, I think if you're talking about the rotation, Taijuan Walker has hit the wall a little bit here since the All-Star break with three straight flat performances. So that's the guy that's got to get back on track from among the starting pitchers. So Conforto and Taijuan Walker.
Hey, Mike, I appreciate you taking the time to hop on. I know in the immediate future we want to follow you and stay tuned to see what happens in the case with Nimmo and to what extent that, you know, his hamstring injury is a little bit of a tweak, or maybe if it's something more. Where can people follow you and all the good things you put out with the Post?
Yeah, sure. I'm on Twitter at NYPost_Mets, and you can find me in the New York Post, NYPost.com, or in the newspaper.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.